Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Knockoma Nation podcast show. Oh, Knockoma Nation podcast show. Hey, it's another episode of the Knockoma Nation podcast show. I'm your host, Ken Hendricks. This is I'm your host, Josh Brown. I'm with JT Holton, one of the leading theologians of our time. Ken Hendricks is still farming. He is cutting hay or baling hay. Like, he's a Christian Bale.
He needs a pharmacist to help him out with that.
Oh! Wow. Right out of the gate.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's incredible.
Going back to my old well of jokes that I've already used on this show.
Yeah. How was your Labor Day weekend, man?
I spent it moving furniture all weekend in the 100-degree weather. So it was outstanding. It was everything I wanted to do.
Ugh.
Yeah, I know, right?
That sounds like the worst. Are you serious? You just moved?
Yeah.
You just packed or something? Like you're buying a house or something, right?
Yeah, it sucked. So just lugging furniture and sweating and it's for the birds, man. Yeah, it was terrible.
They make companies that do that. You just hire people to do that, you know?
Yeah, but I gotta have everything out of one house and then put it in another house and then like. And also, that costs a lot of money, so.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I went to Georgia for the weekend. Don't tell the daycare, because if they find out, then Brindley will have to quarantine for 14 days. But we went to Georgia, and had a great time, dude. Went to a high school football game Saturday night. Saw Noonan play Whitewater down there in Noonan, Georgia. Coweta County had a great time.
Yes.
Father-in-law is the offensive coordinator over there at Whitewater. And so,
okay. They had a good team. I haven't kept up with them, but they had a good team years ago.
They did. Now they got a new head coach. And because they didn't hire my father-in-law, hired this other guy, they're like not that great. Anyways, I'm not salty at all, but they basically looked like Kennesaw State University playing against the Dallas Cowboys. Noonan were like grown men, pretty much, compared to Whitewater. But I had fun. A lot of smiles.
Noonan's always had good players there at Noonan. They've always had some studs out there.
Yeah, their facility was pretty impressive, too. Nice stadium, nice facility. I love the town of Noonan. Huge fan. They got Alan Jackson mural down there, downtown, dude. They got Golden's. We ate at Golden's after church Sunday. It might be my favorite restaurant. Like, I don't know if you can say.
Sprayberry's Barbecue is in Noonan, too, which is pretty good.
Okay.
If you've ever been to Sprayberry's. And right outside is Moreland, Georgia, is in Coweta County, right outside of Noonan, the hometown of Louis Grizzard. About 10 miles outside of Noonan.
I didn't realize Louis Grizzard was from. I knew he was from Georgia. I didn't know he was from that town. But I had a great time. I saw a lot of smiles, which is something I haven't really seen since March here in North Carolina. So
see a lot of bare faces around here.
Yeah, people like show their teeth and smile and stuff, and they're like happy. It's really weird. You know, I felt kind of
especially if you
unsafe.
Got a full set. You know, that full set of teeth goes a long way in Coweta County.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. And if you're in like Noonan proper, like the town of Noonan, lots of full sets of teeth, and then immediately 2 miles outside of town, no teeth. It's kind of weird. Like
there's a quick fall off around that. Area.
There's a quick fall off in a lot of towns in America, but especially Noonan.
Noonan's sort of like a little, it's kind of Marietta-ish. You know, it's a little, it's Noonan, it's a little pretty, you know, it's a little preppy. Mm-hmm. And then like you get outside of Noonan and you're in these other towns and it gets like from preppy to roughneck like real quick.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but like, so downtown Noonan is like a lot, like you said, like Marietta, very much like that, like a lot of beautiful old homes, old money. And then, I mean, you're driving, and then it's like, there's not like this progression. It's, it really is like beautiful house, maybe like 200 yards and then like trailer park, abject poverty. It's very weird. But I do like Noonan. I like the area a lot. I like Sonoya. I like that whole area. Parents or in-laws live and their address is Sonoya, but like they kind of hang out and shop in Noonan. And I invited Tyler Knight, who is a Twitter royalty, fishing Sunday. So he came out. It was kind of late in the day. We had to leave about 5 Sunday, but he came out. We only fished for about an hour. He hooked 2 just massive bass. I got a small one. We had the Braves game on the radio in the John boat. And then Sunday morning before that, I went to church down at Noonan City Church. Had a great time. They were meeting outside, not inside, which is very progressive for the Methodists because it's a Methodist-affiliated church. And most Methodists churches, at least in North Carolina, and also mostly in Georgia, aren't meeting in person right now, as well as Presbyterian churches. They're kind of on the liberal side of things, you know, in regards to, you know, the evangelical, you know, Protestant, you know, church denomination. So a lot of Methodist churches aren't even meeting in person yet. And then Noonan City Church is, they're kind of non-denominational, but I think they're affiliated with Methodist. So they're meeting, but they're meeting outside. You know, they check your temperature when you go out there. But had a great time. Really good time. Pastor Jimmy was fantastic.
Our Methodist church has been meeting, but it's real limited. Like, they don't have Sunday school for the kids. And, like, it's kind of...
You go to Methodist church?
But they also... Yeah, but they also do it on YouTube, which is nice. You know, church on YouTube is way better than go to church in my undies, which is cool.
Yeah, I don't enjoy it. I mean, I get, like, hanging out in your undies is preferable.
Well, you know, with a 7-year-old and a 5-year-old, and if you don't have Sunday school, it's awfully... hard to sit there. Like, they don't want, you know?
Yeah.
Like, golly, you remember being a kid and having to go to, like, big church and sit there, and it was like, an hour. Like, what am I going to do? Like, oh, it's the worst, you know? Yeah, like, it took forever.
I hear you.
I remember being that way at 5, and it was like, how did I do this? You know, like.
Yeah. Noonan City Church had daycare. So, we just dropped Brinley off. Free daycare. They didn't have coffee time. They had coffee last time I was there, but I'm pretty sure that's just COVID.
Well, yeah, Brinley doesn't need coffee, though. That's bad for her at that age.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Probably hot, too. You know, she probably burned herself. Time.
Talked a little theology with Pastor Jimmy after the service. You know, a little bit of end times questions, because I got a lot of questions about that right now. But, you know, he's
I'm sure he likes out-of-towners coming to his church and then asking him Armageddon prophecy questions.
Actually, he offered to drive to Boone. He bought my lunch and was like, dude, I'll drive to Boone and we'll talk theology for 5 hours. I'm like, done. He gave me his number. He gave me a book recommendation. Pastor Jimmy at Noonan City Church is off the chain. I'm just letting you know.
Oh, there you go. I don't know. That's just me. We I'm more the old school, like, shake the preacher's hand and then you move along.
Yeah. Well, to put a little context in it, Pastor Jimmy is my father-in-law's, like, best friend from high school, and so...
Oh, okay. So you know this guy's a total stranger.
Yeah, he's not a total stranger. Like, we're friends on Facebook. He kind of sort of knows me loosely.
Oh, see, I was thinking, like, you're just walking up to a preacher you'd never met before, and we're like, hey, let's go fishing. I got questions about Revelation chapter 3.
Although, I mean, you probably would. I would do that. But, yeah, it wasn't that weird. It was a little bit, you know, we already kind of knew each other and stuff, so... highly recommend Noonan City Church, though. Let's see here. So to get out of the gate, I wanted to start with a new thing where we kind of, like, talk about, like, any misses and or reflections from last week's show, like things we got wrong or just reflections, like feedback, because throughout the week, you don't know this because you're not on Twitter, but I get a lot of feedback throughout the week after a podcast. I'll get some tweets or I'll get some DMs. Somebody will be like, hey, you know, you mentioned this, or hey, you mentioned this country song and you should check out this band, or just like whatever. So this week, one of the things that I missed, we talked about Sammy Kershaw and Lori Morgan. Remember that? And
yes.
I mentioned that, what's his name? The dude that sang the song that you love, the favorite country song of the 90s. What's his name? The guy that died when he was 33. What's his name? Keith Whitley.
Oh, Keith Whitley.
Yeah. So I mentioned Lori Morgan was married to Keith Whitley. I totally forgot. Yeah. John Hughes on Twitter reminded me that Sammy Kershaw was married to Lori Morgan.
Mm. Wow, really?
Yeah, like I vaguely remember this.
John Hughes said that. I love his movies. Ferris Bueller's Day Off, outstanding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Breakfast Club, classic. I like John Hughes.
Yeah, they were married. They were married on September 29th, 2001, and then I guess they got divorced, like, shortly thereafter. Yeah, they got married in 01, and they got divorced in 2007.
Yeah, I don't think I was even thinking about Sammy Kershaw in 2001.
Yeah, and the reason, I always love like divorce reasons, like the legal reasons. The reasons were how do you say that word?
Irreconcilable.
Yeah, that's right. Irreconcilable differences was the reason they got divorced. So I wonder, I wonder what happened. I wonder if like Sammy was walking around, like they'd be going out to some bougie place in Nashville, and Sammy's wearing his Stonewall jeans and his white, you know.
Wait,
Reebok.
They didn't eat at Murphy's restaurant. They didn't.
Yeah.
She didn't drink a slow gin fizz, chicken fried steak,
and no onion rings, no lobster tanks or anything. He was like, "Hey, I'm only going to places with a daggum lobster tank," and she's like, "No, we are millionaires now."
My question is, if you're going to a restaurant that has a lobster tank, why are you getting the chicken fried steak? Like, if you went to Red Lobster, you wouldn't get, like,
I never really
chicken
thought
fried
about
steak.
That. So, know? Murphy's, in the song, they had chicken fried steak and there was a lobster tank.
What kind of restaurant would have both of those things?
Chicken fried steak and lobster. You know, what? Some of these, like, small redneck towns have weird restaurants where they have, like, kind of a hodgepodge. So, that's kind of how I see it. You know, it's one of those, like...
I think those are called... In South Carolina, they're called a calabash.
Oh, okay.
That's what they call, like, a buffet in South Carolina. It's called a calabash.
Or, hey, remember that time... Remember last week when I told you about Lori Morgan's face? How it changed?
Yes. Right.
And I think it changed around that time. So, what if she got the Botox and Sammy was pissed? And I'm with Sammy. I'd be like, you're so beautiful already. Why would you do this to your face? You know what I mean? Like, I know...
She didn't know she's beautiful.
Oh, my God. That's what
he
it was.
He told her all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It never crossed her mind.
It never crossed her
though
mind.
Though time and time, he told her so.
And that's why there was irreconcilable differences, folks. And that's why you guys listen to this podcast. We bring y'all stuff that no one else is going to bring you. That's just the truth.
What if the reason for the divorce was that it was just a third-rate romance? I'm still not sure... Honestly, I thought that song was called third. Third grade romance.
You know, his bachelor pad is a double wide trailer. You still there? You just froze up.
Hello, you froze up.
JT, hello.
You're frozen.
JT, y'all, we have lost JT. Folks, JT has frozen. I'm gonna call him right now. He has that South Georgia internet. All right, let's call him on speakerphone.
Yeah, you froze too.
I froze too?
You froze. I'm like, no, you froze. Because my
network disconnected. Hold on.
Oh, my gosh.
Internet's being a turd.
Oh, my goodness.
Hold on, let me call my wife. She might be streaming lost.
Tell her to log off. She knows what time it is.
Hold on. Let me fix this.
Okay. Folks, this is what this is why we ask for patrons. You know, every week we try to give you guys the, you know how NPR does those spring drives and the fall drives, kind of guilting you because they don't ask, they guilt you.
Are you streaming lost?
Let's just call
anything?
A spade. We're not asking, we're guilty.
Okay, because it just kicked me off the internet.
If you guys give us money, we'll have the ability to get JT the fastest internet available in Macon, Georgia. Which may not be that fast. I don't know. So if you go to patreon.com/ not going to mention anything that's calling. Hey, what?
What's funny is Kim's going to hear all this. Apparently she was watching Lost upstairs and, like, strained the internet connection.
What is it, 2004?
Dude, she just got into it, and it's an awesome show, so I'm, like, getting back into it, because I haven't seen it in a long time.
Oh, my God.
She's never seen it before, and I was like, you ever seen Lost? She's like, no, and I was like, check this out. 10 minutes into it, she's like, this is the best show I've ever seen. I'm like,
yeah.
Yeah. I didn't tell her it sucks for, like, the last two seasons.
I don't know anything about it. I've never seen Lost. I just know my roommate in college, Eric Stogner.
Dude, it's super addictive. You might be into it because it's very philosophical. So
okay.
I got to turn my Wi-Fi off.
I'm guilting people into giving us money, because if we get more patrons, we could afford to get you higher speed internet.
Well, I'm moving, so hopefully pretty soon, that'll help.
Okay, all right.
All right, I'm working.
Do I need to send you a re-invite, or you can just hop back on?
No, it says you can just rejoin, but I got to get my internet connected.
Okay.
Give me just a second.
All right. So anyways, folks, go to patreon.com/knockomination. I think it's as little as $5 a month. I mean, it's just like, what does that come down to? What if you, let me just, 5 divided by 30. That's about 15 cents a day. All right. Am I worth that to you? I think I am. All right. I don't have to guilt y'all ever again, because it makes me feel uncomfortable. I don't want to do this. I don't want to ask, but sometimes I have to. JT doesn't have internet right now. It's y'all's fault. It's not my fault. It's not JT's fault. It's y'all's fault for not supporting the world's greatest replacement level podcast. I think he's back. JT, are you there? Hello? I don't see you, buddy. I don't see him.
I just logged back home.
I hit Z.
That's weird. Let me.
I'm clicking join again. All right.
Like it said, rhubarb. And then your screen was blue.
There's nothing there. It's pulling up.
Join session.
There you go. Okay, we're back. And we're back.
Says not recording. You might want to record.
Okay.
As a backup.
Okay. Is your Audacity up?
Yeah, I never cut it off.
Okay.
I wanted Ken to hear all that fun stuff. All
right, great. So anyways, shout out to John Hughes for reminding us that Sammy Kershaw was married to Lori Morgan, which is is that the greatest duo of all time? Maybe. I mean, it's one of them. It's like probably top 20. I don't know. Also, ever? Yeah, probably. Anthony Prince on Twitter said he just listened to Knockomination for the first time, and he said it was the funniest stuff he's ever heard in his life. And I mean, I can't disagree.
Wow.
Can't disagree.
That's high praise, for sure. He just listened for the first time ever.
Yeah.
Wow. Right. Okay. You got a lot to catch it up to do.
No. Don't go back and listen to anything before like June.
So. Okay. That's fair. Funniest thing ever though, man. That's what he said. Has he seen Gallagher do stand up?
I think he might've said like funniest sports podcast.
Oh, okay. That's
yeah. Which I mean,
well, yeah,
that might not be saying much because there's not a lot of sports podcasts, right?
Well, we're funnier than like Paul Feinbaum.
I'm reading you the message verbatim. He goes, first time listening to your podcast, funniest shit I've listened to about sports. So that's not just podcasts. That's funniest shit I've listened to about sports. That could be like radio,
wow,
TV. could we apply that to movies? Could we be so funnier than like any like I don't know. I'm just
we
saying.
Are Kickball? Funnier than Abbott Costello's Who's on First. We are funnier than the Ben Stiller movie Dodgeball or the Bad News Bears.
Hey, don't poo-poo on Bad News Bears.
The remake, yes. The original, no.
The original.
The Billy Bob Thornton. Fantastic. The Billy Bob Thornton, yeah, you can poo-poo on that.
Yeah, I would never watch the remake.
That was terrible.
Jarrett,
it's one of those movies you watch, you know it's bad, and then you watch it and you're like, yep, I knew it.
Yeah. Jarrett Spaugh and Mac. Mac, I think, is he works for Georgia Tech baseball, and he's like an equipment guy, maybe like the equipment manager or something. Like Mac, I don't know. Just super handsome feller with a beard, Georgia Tech. He's offered to treat me to a game before, which I would honestly, I would go, even though I love the Dogs. I would go to a Georgia Tech baseball game.
He didn't say what kind of game. You can go to the Georgia Tech.
Okay.
They play Georgia. Well,
they both said on Twitter this week they appreciated when we gave some love to Liberty University last week.
The Flames.
And I just wanted to kind of revisit that because I just feel like I got a soft spot for. I always have a soft spot for people, whether they're like a fan of a team or part of something, and they're like head person does something real bad or stupid, and you're like for example, I know people who live in California who aren't terrible socialist tallywhackers. You know what I mean? And so like I know a lot of people that went to Liberty that are like really cool. They're awesome people, and I think Liberty is a good school. I just think Jerry Falwell was a little bit, couple screws loose. That's all. It's not.
Yeah. Well, you know. I mean, what are you gonna do? I don't know. I think Hugh Freeze is an amazing coach for Liberty. Right. Like I said, if you haven't had a sex party with your pool boy, you ain't living.
Right.
That's what folks do sometimes. You know. Right. I mean, we've all been there. I think Liberty actually probably. I don't know. The last year they can hang on to Hugh Freeze. He's too good of a coach for Liberty. Sorry, Liberty.
I don't know anything about their athletics. They have good athletics.
They're a new up and coming football team, meaning they just hit like the FCS level or FBS, whatever it's called.
Oh, okay.
1A. Yeah. Hugh Freeze, who used to be at Ole Miss and got fired for his own scandal, he's at Liberty. But he also, he may go to Southern Miss, just had a job open up. And so. I think he's going to be on the hot list to go out to Southern Miss, but we'll see. But their nickname is the Flames, and that's cool. We don't have enough Flames in college athletics.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, nothing but love for Liberty people. Also, I might have inquired about one of their master's programs, maybe, in the recent past. Don't ever, unless you're serious about following through with it, just a little side note, life advice. Don't inquire with a school unless you're like really serious about going, because they will call you every day. Yeah. I did that with Arizona State University. I was looking at like some Masters of History programs. This was like 2 years ago. And I looked at Norwich University and I think Vermont. They have a really cool U.S. military history program. Masters of History program that just looks super nerdy and cool. And so I actually thought about applying for it, and they called me like every day. And then around the same time, I looked at ASU, and those guys called me like four times a day. Crazy. And then I looked at a couple of theology programs at Liberty. They haven't called me every day, but like probably like a few times a week. Yeah.
I went visit a recruiter from Southern Cal, and he showed up, and my history teacher had to let me out of class. It was American Government, I think it was. And he was like, he saw the excuse to go meet with the recruiter from Southern Cal. He's like, man, you're full of shit. You ain't going to Southern Cal. So anyway, like 10 minutes into it, I brought the guy from Southern Cal outside, and I was like, watch this. And I threw a football for him. And I was like, impressed? And he was like, no. And I was like, oh.
That's great.
And he's like, but I was like, you guys are good at football, right? Check this out. And he's like, yeah, we usually recruit guys that are on the football team. And I was like, Oh,
that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. I can see that. Yeah, it makes sense.
Also, shout out to at Myotha Twitta, because he said he was praying for me. And so I just appreciate that. All right, so some Atlanta Braves stuff to go through. You ready for some Braves news, JT?
Let's go.
Okay. First up, the Atlanta Braves DFA. Charlie Culberson. What are your thoughts?
He's had 9 at bats.
Yeah, but is that his fault? But is that his fault? No, is that his fault? That's not his fault. Why is he at 9 at bats? I want to know why.
I don't
know why.
Because Probably because they have a designated hitter this year, so he loses a lot of value.
Okay, why has Camargo had more at-bats than Culberson? Why?
Because he's probably better.
Stop. Stop.
From, like, every statistical, you know, stat.
Oh, please stop. Culberson can play
Okay, yes, Charlie Culberson is everyone's grandma's favorite Braves player. We know. He's cute, and he taught me to read. These are facts.
He's also really clutch. He's also really clutch, and he hits walk-off bombs.
Okay. Well, whatever. He did, but he's not doing anything this year. And if you got to DFA somebody, he's sorry. But they'll probably clear waivers, probably still be around. You probably haven't seen the last of Clutch, Charlie Clutcherson.
I hope somebody picks him up that can appreciate him for who he is and play him, because that's what he deserves. I just love how they put him in for relief, and then one day the Atlanta Braves Twitter account's tweeting photos of him doing bullpen, you know. So you're thinking, oh my gosh, are they? I think they're maybe about to like transition Charlie into like a pitcher. I mean, he's actually throwing regulated bullpens, okay. And then the next day they're like, oh yeah, by the way, we're gonna designate you for assignment, bitch. And that's when I stopped being a Braves fan.
Maybe they should bring him back as a pitcher. Like, who do you trust more in a game, Robbie Erlin or Charlie Culberson?
Like, honestly, starting Charlie Culberson. Like, Charlie Culberson is a better pitcher than Mike Fultonevich.
Yeah, Charlie Culberson works out.
Yeah,
I mean, doesn't he also throws chicken strikes. McNuggets every meal.
He throws strikes. Yeah, like, that pitch he got. What's his name? That loser for the Nationals. What's his name? Their shortstop. What's the Nat shortstop
Key Boom?
No, Trey Turner.
New guy? Trey Turner.
He got Trey Turner to pop
Trey
out in the inning.
T-R-E-A.
And
Trey.
I watched this pitch. This is embarrassing, but I probably watched it, I don't know, maybe 10 times. But it had this movement. It was like this low and away, like 89 mile an hour, just little zinger that he threw Trey Turner, had him pop out. And it had movement, man. Culberson has more movement than half the daggone pitching staff.
He's a great athlete. He's got great hair. His wife is a stone cold fox, and he's great with kids.
He's from Rome.
But again,
too.
It's a business. It's a business.
Where all the greatest people of all time are from Rome, Georgia. Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
And why did we have to DFA Charlie Culberson for some guy named Tommy Malone?
Or no, they DFA Culberson.
No,
Jacob Webb.
That's right. That's right. Jacob Webb.
That's like that time in college, okay, when Shane Soderstrom moved out of my apartment at the Lake Morton Villas to make room for Forrest Smith. That's what that was like.
I'm not sure anybody gets that reference.
Yeah, Forrest sucks. Forrest is a giant loser. And so Shane left, and then Forrest moved in with me and became my arch nemesis. And that's basically what it's like. When you get rid of Culberson for Jacob Webb, does anybody even know who Jacob is? That dork? He had like two good games.
He was good. He was good.
Maybe three good games.
He should definitely come out to the Spider-Man theme song though.
I don't know. I'm pissed. I feel like Alex Ndombele should be fired. This is some BS.
I saw where was it? Where did I see this today? Oh, I was reading when I'm bored pooping, I read Eric Cole's Twitter timeline. And someone asked him what sort of hot seat Alex Anthopoulos should be on next year. And I actually agreed with him because he was like, none, dummy. Like, he should not be on a hot seat. He's good. Like, we're in first place and we have a MASH unit as our starting rotation. I was like, yeah.
I think I know your burner account, but I'm not gonna say it.
I don't have a burner account. You sent me the tweet from Jeff, and I just looked at it from there. So
that's right. Yeah,
I have no burner. Burner account. I was just looking.
I was texting Jeff Jones today because. So for y'all that don't know, Jeff Jones, our buddy who is at Prospects Braves, who is actually like our real life friend, and he's been on the podcast a few times and has written for us and stuff. Well, so Jeff is also we have some overlapping friends in this little Braves Twitter world. So Jeff is also kind of buddies with some Talking Chop guys, and. His Twitter blew up like 3 years ago, which is funny because Jeff is an absolute just dingus, as we all are. So Jeff has this Twitter called @ProspectsBraves. He gets like 10,000 followers like in a day, you know, and has become like this Twitter thing. Well, you know, back during our, you know, fallout with Talking Chop when they blocked us all for, you know, retweeting their Nick Markakis tweets, Jeff, he didn't get mad. Like Doc got mad. Doc like called me and got really upset, you know, because Doc is, he just wants everybody to get along and stuff, you know. And Jeff didn't really get mad, but definitely got a little like salty, you know, like kind of like, why are you guys trolling him so much? And I'm like, because they suck. Well, now Eric Cole has blocked Jeff Jones on Twitter.
I don't know.
Which is the funniest thing ever.
Jeff Jones, a fellow Tampa Bay Lightning fan, by the way.
Yeah, great guy. Great guy. He's like, Jeff Jones is just like a, if a surfer, skater, stoner guy was a Braves fan. Like, there's only one of them that I know of. It's just Jeff Jones.
I think it's him.
There's not a lot of,
and
like,
he's never just, oh, he is never Jeff. It's Jeff Jones.
Yeah.
Like, he's got that name that perfect, like the alliteration of it.
Right.
The double J's. It's just perfect to say first and last name.
Yeah, there's not a lot of stoner Braves fans. I feel like most Braves fans, at least on Twitter.
No, I think most of them need to smoke.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But most Braves fans on Twitter are like 98% of them are like super high strung, you know, super triggered. And Jeff Jones is like, let's just smoke a bowl and watch some prospects, bro.
You should check out the links that John D. Howard is sending us right now, because the Braves have Brian Kemp on the broadcast. And people are losing their minds that the governor of the state of Georgia is on TV.
Oh my gosh. I just checked my phone. That's great. That's great.
Yeah. Oh, so,
I bet Twitter's melting right now.
Why is he on my TV? I don't know, because they asked him to be on. But you think he just barged in and said, put me on TV? I don't know.
Oh, man.
Why does it matter?
Good he's Lord, the governor of Georgia, and the Braves play in Georgia. They're the only major league team in Georgia. And so
he's a legit sports fan, too. He's a legit sports fan. Like, he's not one of those, you know, sometimes politicians will be front runners. And who was it? Golly, somebody in New York, like one of the governors, was like, put on a Yankees cap and said he loved Danny Jeter. I can't remember who it was. I want to say it was Pataki. Anyways. It's usually a lot of times where they try to pretend to be sports fans, but they're not. They're political guys, so they're not into sports, and it comes off brutal. Kemp's a legit sports fan. Like, he's a legit Braves fan. He's a big Bulldogs fan, UGA grad. He actually enjoys sports, so I give him a pass. Like,
yeah,
if someone asks him to be on, he can't make his way on.
I just love how, like Kemp. So, what's the mayor of Atlanta's name? Keisha Lance Bottoms? Yeah. So she does
Keisha Lance Bottoms.
Yeah, so she does that mask mandate, right? Like hardcore like mandate. And Kemp, who even before that mandate, Kemp is literally, he's wearing a mask. He's tweeting selfies of him wearing like a Waffle House mask and a UGA mask, and he's like saying, "Hey, we should wear a mask," you know, like Kemp is, like, you know, right wing, you know, Trump supporting, you know, Brian Kemp is before the mask mandates was wearing a mask, tweeting about masks. Bottoms like signs this like shady law or whatever, and Kemp overrides the law. Is like, hey, you know, I don't think we should like make people wear a mask. And like, of course, as you can imagine, like everybody on Twitter loses the plot. Like, oh my god, Kemp doesn't want anybody to wear a mask. I'm like, no, he's literally wearing a mask himself, and he's like tweeting selfies of him wearing a mask. He encourages you to wear a mask. He just doesn't think that the government should make you wear a mask.
It's not very American to force people to do something that they don't want to do.
Yeah.
But if you want to do it, by all means, go right ahead. Matter of fact, I recommend it. Probably safer, too.
Yeah.
But the thing, there is no such thing as nuance anymore. You know, it doesn't matter what he said. He could have come out and just farted into a microphone, and people would be like, I can't believe he said that. Like, because he plays for the other team, so that's all that matters.
Can I tweet the photo that you sent us, the one with you and Kemp?
Yeah, sure. I don't care.
Okay.
Yeah. Matter of fact, make it a point to show how hard my nipples are in that photo.
they are. Oh. Anyways, I like Brian Kemp. I didn't used to like Brian Kemp. I like Brian Kemp now. Moving on. Max Fried goes on the DL. And I think it's just some back problems. But like, wouldn't your back be stiff too, JT, if you had to carry the whole team? Yeah.
The five starting pitchers for the Atlanta Braves, as of right now, when the season started 2 months ago, none of these were projected to be starting pitchers for the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah.
I mean, this is crazy, right? Tommy Malone, Ian Anderson, some guy named Robbie Irwin, Josh Tomlin, and who am I missing here? Am I missing anyone? Now that Max Fried, whoever's going to replace Fried in the next start? Kyle Wright.
Yeah.
Who's starting tonight. So, So, rewind, right before the season started at the end of July, our starting rotation had five guys, not named these five guys. Yeah. And the fact that we're a first-place team, with all that being said, with Ozzie Albies missing a significant amount of time, with Ronald Acuna missing less significant amount of time, but still some time, that's pretty dang impressive. Like, what the heck?
Yeah.
I don't know. And it's not like we are in a division that's a total bunch of jabronis. The Phillies had a slow start, but they're coming on.
Yeah.
Washington has looked terrible. But Miami's been a pain in the butt this year. So it's not like we're playing a bunch of scrubs. We had to earn this first place. But holy cow. This team is, I don't know, man. Like, barely hanging on. For everything that could have possibly gone wrong, the fact that this team is somehow in first place is pretty amazing.
Yeah, I agree. Cole Hamels could return as early as next week, game two against Baltimore. What do you expect from Cole Hamels? Like, realistically, what do you expect?
Not much, realistically. I mean, he's got to get – there's no way he's ready to go. I mean, he's got to get stretched out in live action. So you're looking at heavy pitch counts. It's not like he's going to show up and go – 7 scoreless in his first outing. It's going to take a minute. What I do expect, though, is a veteran presence, a guy who can smoke and mirrors his way through a game, even if he doesn't have his best stuff, a guy who can hold down the fort. Fried should only miss a start, but we have 14 games in 13 days, and so it's not like they could push Max Fried back a start. So they had to put him on the IL or whatever it's called. So I think You've got a leader. You got a guy everybody else will look up to, and it couldn't hurt. Like, honestly, like, I don't expect the world of him, but my expectations are so low right now for the Braves starting pitchers that, you know, getting Cole Hamels feels like Sandy Koufax is coming into play. You know,
yeah, a little bit, yeah. Cole Hamels, sneaky cute, got that rugged. You called him.
I don't think it's not even sneaky.
Yeah. I think you made like the Metro Marlboro Man comparison, which I think is pretty accurate. Yeah, like if the Marlboro Man lived in Buckhead, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like if Marlboro Man hung out at the Lenox Square Mall or something in the Saturday afternoons,
or like Alpharetta. Like if Marlboro Man went to Milton.
Yeah, Phipps Plaza Marlboro Man is what he is.
Right.
Because he does have this ruggedness about him, but then he's got the hair and the steely blue eyes that,
right?
You know.
Like if the Marlboro Man like went to church, cleaned up a little bit, you know, got a Zach Williams album, you know what I mean? Kind of turned his life around, like that's Cole Hamels, kind of.
Right.
Yeah.
Like a vegan-looking Marlboro Man.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, I could see it. I can see it. At least our wives can't attend the games in person this year, because you'd have Cole Hamels, and well, Charlie's gone, so that's good. Dansby's still there. Got to look out for that guy. You know.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Dansby's hotness is only related to girls that are like 19 years old. I don't know if like 35-year-old women think Dansby's hot. I think it's
the ones who are mentally stable don't look at him as a hot piece of meat. But there's a lot of not sure if you know this, but there's a lot of Twitter people who are not mentally stable who look at Max Fried and Dansby as being prime for the picking. You know what I mean? 35-year-old women who are just not fully emotionally there. They've never been loved before. You know.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So they're, you know, so they don't really have like a lot to like compare to like in real life. So they see like Max Fried and they're like, oh my gosh, I would hang out with him. And it's like, I don't know if you should do that. It's kind of weird.
He's like 22. Yeah. Strange. No, but I mean, he's definitely, they're definitely like, good looking guys, but it's kind of like,
he was like seven, you know, when you were like 20, you know what I mean? Is that right? Yeah. My math.
At least
not
Cole
great.
Hamels is in the age group, you know?
Right. Or even like Nick, like, so my wife, obviously she has a great taste in men because she married me. But like, so my wife will tell you, like, no joke, no trolling here, that Nick Markakis is the most handsome guy on the Atlanta Braves. Super handsome.
And yeah. He's definitely honestly, handsome.
Like, I see it. Like, he's like a man's man, you know?
Very symmetrical face. No obvious flaws. Keeps it simple. Doesn't try any goofy hairstyles. Even good looking shaving the beard down. Like,
yeah. Not a lot of guys can like look hot both ways. I mean, but he does.
Yeah. Usually there's a reason you need the beard is to hide some.
Exactly. Like, so when I shave my beard, it's a joke. Like, I just look like a freaking doofus, you know? And then, Cakes looks great either way. And then the Jufro, like, who do you know that can like still look good with a Jufro, you know, and the beard, and then the Jufro without the beard, and then like the beard with like the shaved head, and then like the whole thing is shaved and still look good. Like,
not sure you can call it that. Lenny Kravitz pulled it off for a while. I think
the Greek fro?
Screech from Saved by the Bell. You know, had one. Yeah. Hmm. Ooh, Mario Lopez. Speaking of Saved by the Bell. He had more of a Jerry curl.
Yeah, he didn't have a fro, no.
Yeah, it's more of a Jerry curl. Yeah. It's kind of weird looking.
Well, anyways. Moving on. Free to the DL. Oh, big news. Big news, JT. Big news. Josh Tomlin, since following the Nakahoma Nation Twitter account, has a 1.50 ERA and has not lost a baseball game. I feel like that is huge news that we should explore.
Yeah, I guess I need to be nice to him, as I just crapped on the entire Braves rotation saying, you know, I'm really good. Yeah, Josh Tomlin found the secret sauce here. Follow Nakahoma Nation and boom, success on the pitching mound.
So
keep it up, buddy.
Based on our analytics, the two best pitchers in baseball are, in no order, Josh Tomlin and Luke Jackson. So,
sounds about right.
Yeah. Also, let's talk about it. What are your thoughts on? Did you watch the games at all over the weekend? I watched a little bit. I watched
the
like,
games. What do you mean the games?
Did you watch the Braves over the weekend? Did you watch the games? The Braves games.
I would have been. I tried to keep as abreast of the situation as I possibly could. I was busy doing a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I saw them. I saw some of them. I kept up with them, at least.
Well, okay. What are your thoughts on some of the bullpen decisions Snicker made? For example, you know, he puts in, you know, Weigel, which I didn't have a problem with, and he leaves him in. And then he puts in – the Braves have a chance to win that game. Then he puts in a position player. I mean, what are your thoughts?
Well, you can't just – sometimes you've got to use these lesser-used arms and try to win a game with them. You can't just trot out the same three dudes every single time.
Uh-huh.
Or the goose is going to be cooked by the time the postseason rolls around. So sometimes you've got to – people always say, well, it didn't give us the best chance to win. Well, yeah. But there's a reason these guys have jobs, and that's to go out there and perform. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you got to see if they can do it or not. You can't just sit there and go, Weigel sucks, so we're just never going to use him ever. You know, sometimes you got to throw him out there and see if he can do it or not. Unfortunately, it didn't work out. But if he comes in and just does the job and we win the game, then he's a genius.
Right.
It's like the offensive coordinator that calls a trick play that doesn't work because the wide receiver dropped the pass.
Mm.
Like, if he catches it, then the coach is a genius. But since the guy dropped it, you go, oh, why would you call that there? You're an idiot. What are you doing? Look, the you know, if it worked, that's part of coaching. Sometimes your decisions don't work out. No manager bats a thousand. Mm-hmm. That's just the way it is. I think we overanalyze it because we don't pay attention to the Cincinnati Reds and their bullpen decisions, or the Seattle Mariners. We overanalyze because we watch every single game, for the most part. Yeah. And this happens all the time in baseball. You think this is just Brian Snitker? You think other managers don't make questionable bullpen decisions? Because you can't always go with just your two or three best guys and that be it. Yeah. And then have a bunch of dudes sitting around picking boogers.
I was telling folks this 3 years ago, whenever Snitker started. When was his first year? 2016 or 2017? 2017? I don't remember.
Was it something?
Yeah. Back when I used to have MLB Network, which I don't anymore because they make you pay a premium for that shit. Anyways, I used to have MLB Network, and I used to watch religiously. And I would always see people complain about the silliest things, as they still are doing. And the complaints were always about, you know, bullpen usage and all that. And I'm like, y'all, do y'all honestly just watch the Braves? Because I think that a lot of these Braves fans on Twitter, and even like these other podcasters and like, you know, Braves bloggers, only watch Braves games, and they don't really follow baseball, right? If you follow baseball, I mean, it is no Snitker exclusive thing to like use, just almost overuse your bullpen, right? In 2020, almost every manager in baseball, except for maybe two, overused their bullpen. What does that mean? That means that you got a bullpen of guys, and you got your top three best relievers in that bullpen, okay? And then you got a bunch of other goobers, right? Most managers are using all of those guys. And so there's situations in the seventh inning when, if you're a Twins fan, you're thinking, oh, I mean, he needs to bring in this guy who's the best or one of the best relievers, but then he brings in this guy instead, right? That happens all the time. They manage to contracts. If on your resume it says that you are a middle reliever, regardless of if you're hot or not, or if you're, you know, having a good year or not, like if that's what your job description says, most managers, especially, you know, kind of old school guys, like even Bobby Cox did this, right? He will use you if that's what your job description says. If your job description says you're a utility guy, if you're Emilio Bonifacio and you suck at hitting baseballs, he's going to use you in those situations, right?
Because you're the utility guy.
If your job description says, I am a pinch hitter, okay? If you're Greg Norton and you suck, if you're the worst, if you don't deserve to be, you know, 10 miles in a stadium, if that's what your job description says, Bobby Cox is going to use you as a pinch hitter, right? And that's how Snitker is. But that doesn't absolve him from some things I saw this weekend. You know, like using Culberson here and there. First of all, Patrick Weigel. So that made Braves Twitter like really angry for hours. Okay, so right. I have no problem with it. The Braves were up. I think they had a five run lead or something. I think, right? I think they had a 5-run lead, and they bring in Weigel to make his debut, his MLB debut. Okay, you have a lead, a comfortable lead, and you bring in this rookie who's kind of not really a rookie. I mean, he is, but he's already been up. He just like didn't play because he had an injury. So, I mean, you know, he's like a rookie-ish. Like, they call him up, major debut with a 5-run lead, and then he ties the game up, right? And that's when your soft far left, total goobers of Braves Twitter who have like never, you know, seen a person from the opposite sex naked, we're just crying for hours about how Snitker is leaving him in. Can you imagine? And I'm like, yeah, just like, who cares? I don't really care. You're leaving him in. See what he's made of. And he had a really hard time. It was kind of painful to watch, but like, that's baseball, sports. And then he brings in Charlie Culberson. I was like, okay, I have no idea what he's doing now.
Well, you got to remember, too, it's hard for fans to reconcile the fact that baseball managers do not go into a season with the goal of being undefeated. This isn't high school or college football. Snitker will tell you, our goal is to win the series. We always want to win the series.
Mm-hmm.
So that, what that means is, hey, I'm okay with losing once every 3 games. I'm okay with that because we accomplished our goal. Because in the way baseball works is you have to have a long-term plan and a long-term vision. I agree that it's frustrating when you see guys, like you were saying, that are played because of position. How many times have you seen a really pivotal moment in a game and your best pitcher isn't brought in because he's a closer and it's not a save situation? So you just don't do that. Like, well, it's not a save situation. Even though our closer is clearly the best guy we have available, we're saving him because it's not a safe situation. Like, yeah, it can be frustrating sometimes. Every manager does these things. It does get frustrating. Mm-hmm. But you also have to have a long-term plan, you know, and you have to be okay with, you know what, we're going with these guys because the other guys are tired. Maybe the guy wasn't feeling good before the game. Maybe the guy requested, hey, if you cannot use me tonight, I could probably use a day to rest.
Are you insinuating that there's more to it than a player's F war? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, this is what I'm insinuating. And so there are times when a manager is going to go, you know what, I know these aren't my best guys, and I have to be okay with that. And if we lose this game, I have to be okay with that too, because the big picture is still alive. Mm-hmm. It's keeping these other guys fresh. There's more to it than we know, and you have to have that. And that's hard for a sports fan. I don't want to pick on Braves Twitter, because that's hard to reconcile. Because as a fan, you want to go 162-0. No fan is okay with losing a game, because we're fanatics. That's what we are. We think the Braves should win every single game. The manager in baseball, you have to be like, eh, tonight's not our night. But this is how we're going to do it. And there are times where you go into a game before the first pitch is even thrown, knowing we're at a disadvantage because, unbeknownst to the fans at home, we don't have players X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
That happens in baseball. They're not on the disabled list.
I feel like
we don't know that at home.
You're being too nice. You're being too nice. I think, yeah, I mean, I know a fan's going to fan.
Yeah, of course. That's how baseball works, though. I mean, there's things we don't know. Just because a guy's not on the DL doesn't mean he's available to pitch that night. Mm. And sometimes you just got to make do.
Yeah. Yeah, I look at it like, you know, I'm probably too mean to Braves Twitter, and I probably mock them too much. But I look at it like, oh, so y'all are mad because Brian Snitker is using the bullpen that he has been given? Like that's why you're mad? Like I don't.
Yeah.
Why are you mad about that?
Look,
he's got
always
one guy
guys.
That can pitch on the entire team, basically. Maybe two guys.
Right.
Actually.
There's guys on a usual 25-man roster that probably shouldn't be there. Mm-hmm. So when you expand the rosters, what does that tell you? There's probably guys that don't deserve to be on an MLB roster. Probably three or four on each team right now that probably should not be in the major leagues. With the Braves, due to our injuries, we probably have like six or seven that probably should not be at the major league level right now.
Yeah.
But this is the hand we're dealt. And so you
like Huskar, you know, like that guy, if this was a normal year, is he on a major league roster? Like, I don't know.
Probably not. I mean, maybe at some point during the season he makes an appearance or two based on injuries happening or whatnot. But
yeah,
case in point, the five guys starting in our rotation right now were not our starting five going into the season.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. I mean, these things happen.
What are your thoughts on Mark Haggis' slump? Is this a real slump? Is it something we should be worried about? Should we be praying for this? Should we start fasting? You know what I mean?
You know, I think... Here's Nick Markakis could, you know, he could back 600 over his next 20 games. But if he only has that one home run, that's all that people are going to talk about. He's not a power hitter. You have a non-power bat in a corner outfield spot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I got to be honest. Up until last week, honestly, I thought what you just said was exclusive to a certain type of goober on Twitter. Right, like the Braves bloggers. Like I thought that's the only people who don't appreciate Markakis, but I was wrong because I got to troll that John Chuckery guy off of 92.9 The Game, who is not an analyst. So I always thought the Markakis hate is just from the over analytical like nerds, but this guy John Chuckery, who doesn't even know what WRC Plus is, just thinks Markakis sucks. So
I found this out. It's weighted runs created plus.
Yeah,
I found that out by listening to his rant about you on 92.9.
So I think it's not exclusive. It's not exclusive to like your advanced analytical crowd. It's not. I thought it was, but it's not. I should have known that before because Mike Petriello, who is on ESPN, who unfollowed me because of COVID. Mike loves Markakis, and there's not a more advanced metrics guy than Mike Petriello. right? So I just think it's a small sector of like Braves Twitter. And then
I've
John
always thought
Chuckery.
That baseball nerds would really appreciate a guy like Markakis.
Yeah, same.
That does the little things. Like, you know, like maybe it's the old school baseball nerds. Like the guys like George Will, mm-hmm. who writes these really intricate 400-page books on like the way Cal Ripken fields grounders. Minute Work.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That's what I got.
Got it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Great book. But that's because he does the little things. You know what I mean? Like, and that's the kind of guy. It's weird. It's sometimes I feel like Sabermetrics guys pick and choose the guys they like. You have your darlings.
Yeah.
You have guys you just
don't,
pick don't
and
like.
Choose. And, yes.
And you'll use Dansby it to Swanson. Justify whatever.
Dansby you know? Swanson and Nick Markakis have almost the exact type of offense profile. Like, right. very similar. Contact, singles, doubles. Okay, you could maybe like split hairs and say, okay, Dansby might have a little more power, maybe, but that's because he's like 22. I don't know. How old is Dansby? 26, 27?
Probably 26, I'd say. Roughly
yeah,
26.
And Markakis is kind of old in baseball years. But like, so they have this very, very similar offensive profiles, but like your analytical like person like hates Markakis, but they like Dansby. So I don't.
Yeah.
Maybe it's spiritual.
I miss old school baseball nerd guy. Like the Tim Kirchens of the world who lose
Bill
their
James.
Shit.
Bill James.
When a guy like converts sack flies. Like runner on third, one out, and you know this guy would get it into left field and bring that guy home.
Right.
And,
or
you
like
know, the guy, the productive out guy. You know?
Yeah, like, yeah, 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 yeah. Or you know? The guys that would bitch about like somebody intentionally walking a batter, you know, to get to second or Just moving the runner over to second.
Move the runner. Tim Kirchen literally has a book called I'm Fascinated by Sacrifice Flies. And it's a great book. And it's just Tim Kirchen telling stories about baseball players he knows. And it's outstanding. And this is a nerd who literally, like, since he was a kid,
those nerds
still
to
today,
back.
Takes the paper and cuts out box scores and keeps them in a journal and tapes them every morning. He's such a dork that he... And this guy's married with, like, grandkids now. And he tapes them to a scrapbook. So he's got every box score from every major league game for like the last 30 years in like binders in his house. That's serial killer level stuff, but it's kind of endearing compared to like the sabermetrician guy who is like hardcore stance on everything. Like Tim Kirchner is this guy who like pumps his fist when someone bunts a guy from second to third, you know? Like he's that kind of baseball nerd where he's excited about those kind of things. Or a catcher who's good at framing and stuff like that, that otherwise most people are like, who cares? I miss that kind of baseball dork where they just love the little thing. Because they would always tell you that's what's beautiful about baseball is the little things, the games within the game that go on between every pitch, you know, the gamesmanship. And that's the beautiful thing about baseball. People don't ever talk about that anymore. It's always about like just finding the most obscure stat possible and using that to go ahead and base your claim of whether or not a guy's good or not based on some obscure stat. It used to be everybody just appreciated like, the fact that, you know, that somebody has a great pickoff move. You'll tune in just to watch it. You know? Those are the things I miss.
Me too. The things that mattered. You should write a book called The Things That Mattered. You thought about that?
I'm already working on a baseball book. It's called The Boys of Summer.
That's original.
Where's that taken? Oh, that's it is? Original. Okay. Good.
Yeah. I'm working on one called Smart Baseball. Because like I just feel like people are really dumb. And so you just want to, I just want to like just write something I think's intellectual, try to bring them back, you know. But yeah, Smart Baseball.
I'm working on a book. I'm gonna call it Funny Ball, and it's just a bunch of players' names that I think are hilarious. Like, I'm gonna have a chapter dedicated to former Tigers third baseman Rusty Kuntz.
Wow,
he gets his own chapter. Yeah,
that's incredible.
That's funny to me.
Right. So, do you think Markakis is gonna like come back to Earth? This is just a season, right? We don't need to go fast.
I mean, he'll be back to his usual Cooperstown-bound self pretty shortly.
Yeah. Do you think we jinxed it by saying that Young Harris should have a spot in Cooperstown? Do you think we jinxed it?
No, I mean, look, he's – the Cooperstown wing would be him. I guess Hank Aaron deserves a spot in there because he was on the board of directors.
Right.
And Hank Aaron went through slumps. He still had like a lot of home runs, so I think.
Yeah, I think he had a pretty good career, but
you know what's
going to
be hilarious? Honestly, like just the day Nick Markakis retires 5 years from now, with 3,100 hits. And then 10 years from now, when he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, it's going to be like the funnest day in my life. Like, we're going to go to Cooperstown. We should totally go. And just be like,
yeah.
Like,
we're going. Like, we're going.
If you look at his stats, like, he's fourth right now in active hits. Mm-hmm. Okay. Behind three future Hall of Famers.
Right.
If he plays like five more years at even a decent level, he's going to be close. He could be close to 3,000. I'm not saying he's guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
Stranger things have happened. I'm just saying.
There's a show about that. Well,
Stranger Things.
I think he's going to come out of it. I don't want to say because I feel like if I say whatever I say could jinx it. So I don't want to say.
You know, let's go reverse jinx, and let's just from now on we're just going to talk about how much Nick Markakis sucks.
Yeah,
and how terrible he is.
Like, why is he even on the team? Like, what a loser.
Why does he exist? Like, why hasn't he jumped in front of a train? It's terrible, everything.
Yeah. Ugh. Why did he even, like...
Who would like him ever?
Like, why did Young Harris even give him a chance to play baseball?
Right. Why did they let him back on the team? Like, he opted out. He should go opt out of everything. Bye.
Yeah.
See you.
Those
loser.
Hits he has don't even count. They don't count.
Right. Who hits doubles? Like, you got to hit two doubles to equal one home run. That's insane.
Yeah,
that's like, basic
like,
math.
Like
anybody
two
can
plus
do,
two,
tell you that.
Four is a home run.
Right.
So, yeah, that's like basic math.
Oh, idiot. Because he's too weak to hit it over first because he had neck surgery. Yeah.
And gold gloves aren't even gold. They're not. They're like.
Right.
They're
you know
leather.
How hard it is to catch the ball if your glove is gold? You can't even
pick
move
up
it.
A nugget of gold. Not that I ever have, but like it's probably not light.
No. Stupid. Nick Markakis.
See, this is what I would have in my smart baseball book right here.
Stuff like that.
In closing, what are you reading / listening to? What's going on? Give the folks
just
some recommendations.
Just today, Amazon dropped a little goodie box off my front door with the new book about Mr. Kirby Paul Smart on my front door. So I'm looking forward to tearing into that.
Nice.
Nice. I just finished Louis Grizzard's. I Took a Lickin' and Kept on Tickin', which is a really eerie book to read because he talks about his third heart surgery where he almost died, not knowing that he's just going to die the next year. So it's a weird one to read. But I'm looking forward to reading the Kirby Smart book and just being told a bunch of stuff that I already know. And then I'm also somewhere in 2 Samuel in the good book.
Oh, nice.
King,
are you doing
King David.
Are you doing a whole read-through?
Yeah. Yeah. So King David. Is dancing in the streets right now.
Okay.
If he hits it there, we'll be dancing in the streets. And apparently, that's what King David decided to do.
How are you doing this? Are you doing a study Bible? Or are you doing what
no,
translation?
I
want to know more.
I got something called the Jesus Bible that John D. Howard recommended, and I'm just reading a chapter or two, maybe three a day. I'm just straight on through.
Cool.
Just all the old stories that I heard growing up in Sunday school. I'm like, oh yeah, I remember that guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I am. Going through the New Testament, I am in Romans now. So I got me also a John D. Howard. Not really recommendation. It was more like I was texting him, hey, is this good or bad? Are you cool with this? And I got a ESV, Systematic Theology Study Bible, which I enjoy. Because I don't know if you know this, but like study Bibles, it's like a whole industry of study Bibles.
Yeah.
And I didn't
sell them for like 40 bucks a piece too. Like
that's a cheap one.
They get up there.
That's a cheap
one.
And I didn't want one with like a bunch of commentary and notes. You know what I mean? So like Charles Stanley, he has one, right? So
yeah.
And I'm sure his is fine and people enjoy it, but like his is like 70% like page of notes and then like you know the scripture up top. I wanted one with like scripture and a little bit of like commentary, which is
that's the way this is. Yeah. It's pretty contemporary stuff. It's guys like Louis Giglio and a couple other dudes. Did the commentary on it, and it's pretty minimal. Like, every other page will have something in the margins, and then, like, you know, a couple times a chapter, you'll have a full page, you know, explaining what this means, stuff like that. It's not too...
Yeah. That's cool.
It's not too much... It's not really into, like, systematic theology, which can be very... That can be taxing. That's some big stuff.
Well, maybe I'm a little nerdier. In a way, I don't know. You're kind of a nerd too, though. You're nerdy. We're both nerdy.
Oh yeah.
But I enjoy like I'm like, dude, like I don't want to walk over there because I'll yank my headphones. I got like a stack of like new theology books in the mail. So I'm really interested in learning about the early church, about not just the letters that Paul wrote, but how he wrote them. And I've nerded out, man. Like, so there's a podcast that I would highly recommend to anybody, you as well, called The Bible Project.
Mm-hmm.
These two guys in Portland, Oregon, super nerdy, hipster Christian guys, like your Christian coffee shop guys, you know? One guy has like
they burned down that coffee shop, but yeah.
Yeah, probably. But they've got like a PhD in, you know, theology and stuff. And anyways, really, really good podcast, kind of long form. And they did a 10-part series. So each episode is about an hour of the epistles, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a really easy list. I listened to the whole thing to and from Georgia last weekend. And it kind of talks about like, you know, how they were written, the context, because I think a lot of Christians like hear someone say like, you know, hey, you should really like consider the context as like an affront, almost like they take it as like a, maybe a little bit of, they get a little defensive, you know, like they, I think a lot of people hear that and think, oh, if I read it in context, that might hurt my faith or like, you know, but like, not really. I think it's really cool to read it in context. And so this podcast kind of walks you through first century Rome, who these people were. So Paul is writing to house churches, and then like it goes into like how these letters are written, which is super nerdy. Like, so it wasn't cheap. Like, so Paul, so I grew up thinking like, okay, Paul is like in prison by himself, just like writing on a notepad, you know?
Yeah,
that's kind of right. Not how it went. Like, so back then, like, basically he was funded. He would get visits and stuff from his friends while he's in prison. So he was funded. And so you'd have to have a secretary back then to basically write what Paul was saying. And then like, and then the paper was expensive. So the stuff that they, so the scrolls they found, that's not cheap stuff back in whenever, like 60 or 70 AD. So like all the effort it took to write these letters, it's just really interesting. And then you have to really realize that like they're letters and they were to these people, which doesn't mean that you can't use, you know, you can't apply all that stuff, you know, to your life now. But it does mean that like, you know, they were to a specific group of people, first century Christians and stuff. So super interesting.
So there's specific context involved with each.
Yeah.
Each one.
Right, right. Super interesting. And I'm only through Romans now. So I'm kind of taking my time, but it's richer. I think it's richer when you kind of read the history of it, learn the context, take your time, approach it with, respect. Not that we don't, but like, I think, you know, like, the Bible's a lot more than like, my favorite Bible verse is Philippians 4:13.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So anyways, yeah. You can nerd out about the Bible, man. Super interesting.
It is a super nerdy book for real.
So I'm reading that. And then our buddy John Foss sent me. You ever heard of this guy? Chuck Klosterman?
Oh, yeah. Dude, I've read like, all his books.
Really? Dude, yeah. I've never heard of him. Dude, John sent me
his book. He is a pop culture wizard.
Yeah. John sent me... What if we're wrong? But what if we're wrong?
Yeah, that's, you go on Amazon. If you like that, you can find all his books used on Amazon for like a penny. It'll cost you like $4, including shipping. And they're all like essays on pop culture. He's got one called Killing Yourself to Live, where he goes to all the famous monuments and places where famous rock musicians have died. What? So it's really interesting. He just does a diary of him driving around America in a rental car. It's great. Like, it's super dorky. Yeah, it's really good. He's got one called Fargo Rock City, which is all about his love of 80s hair metal. It's yeah, he has an amazing ability to talk about any sort of pop culture concept. He's always on Bill Simmons' podcast all the time.
Interesting.
And he could, if you said, hey, give me 30 minutes on the, write me a 10-page article essay on the Spice Girls, he'd be like, oh, no problem. Just crank it out. Wow. Like everything from, or the 1987 NBA Finals. Okay, sure. Like, doesn't matter. Like, he's a human encyclopedia for anything pop culture related, movies, TV, music, sports. It's super cool. Like, he's a super dorky guy. Yeah, he's great. He used to write for like, I discovered him like 15 years ago. He used to write for like Spin and Rolling Stone and music magazines like that. And I fell into one of his books at the local library when I was in college, and like I rented it like 3 times because it was called Sex, Drugs, and Cocoa Puffs, and it was just, he's got just different essays. They're each essay stands alone, but it's so cool. Like, just to nerd out on like a 15-page Star Wars essay, and then the next one's about the real world, and then the next one's about the video game The Sims. Like, it's cool stuff.
He's a really good writer, though.
He's really good. He's funny. He's smart. Super duper smart. Yeah. I love him. He's good stuff for sure.
Yeah, he sent me. John sent me two. Sent me that one, and I forget the other one. It's in my living room, but I'm reading those. I started last night Good Call by the great theologian Jace Robertson from Duck Dynasty.
Yeah. It's a good book.
It's really good. Yeah. So
I told my wife at about 4 o'clock in the morning, I had a dream that we were in Mexico with the Robertsons curing cancer. So yep, that's what I was doing in my dream last night. We were just going around curing people of their cancer in Mexico. Wow.
Oh, that's amazing. So so check out Samuel, 1st and 2nd Samuel. Check out the Jesus Bible. Is that a translation? Yes. What's the translation?
Yeah, I think it might be like New Standard Version. I'm not sure. I had to look at it.
Okay.
I'm not a big translation geek. I don't get caught up in all that stuff.
I am.
It's easy to read.
You know how I nerd out about like fly, anything I get into. Like, so now it's like Bibles. I'm nerding out about all of the translations. It's ridiculous. It's embarrassing. I just bought an NKJV Bible today because now I'm obsessed because I'm trying to find my flavor. Okay. And I feel like there's a whole culture of like ESV nerds on Instagram, and I like ESV, but like it's okay. And then I feel like the NIV doesn't get enough love. I think a lot of people view the NIV as like basic, like, you know, kind of, you know, only dumb rednecks list, you know, read the NIV. But that's not true, because I watched this podcast by this theologian from the Dallas Theological Seminary, and he said, he's some guy that just put out a new version called the Net Bible, and he said the NIV is maybe the best current language translation out there. Yeah. But people nerd out about the ESV because it's newer. That's kind of what he didn't say that, but he kind of implied that, which I think is true. Yeah. And then the NASB is, it overcorrects. So it's like, it's the most literal. But the problem is you can't directly translate Greek to English. You can't. There's no.
Right.
For example, like it translates city, right? So it says like in the original Greek, it calls Damascus a city. Damascus isn't really a city. It's kind of like a village. There's like 11 people there. And so then in the NASB, it says the city of Nazareth. Well, it's the NIV kind of corrects things and says, oh, the town of Nazareth, because it wasn't really a city.
City was a community. Yeah. Right. Like, and like the, I think the Greek word for like a golden calf, like an idol, the Greek word was Markakis, because that's how people worship him, because he was that good. That's Greek. I think that's a Greek word.
All right, so, wow, that's incredible. So check out the Jesus Bible. Check out, get a good study Bible if you need some recommendations. Hit me up on Twitter. I know way too much about them right now. Check out the Bible Project podcast. It's really amazing. Check out Good Call by Jace Robertson. Great book. What's that Kirby Smart book you got?
I can't remember. It's called like Attack the Day or something. Okay. Right. I don't know. Something. It's the new one. Came out. I've got every Georgia book ever written, so I figure I need to get it.
Yeah.
It's not going to tell me anything I don't already know, but whatever.
That's kind of how I feel about like when I watch Braves game. I'm like, I already know. Everything.
I'm not sure what translation it is. I have to look that up. I'm not sure if it's King James.
Yeah. Version. Probably the New Living translation.
It does have commentary from Louis Giglio in it, though.
Wow.
I'm just kidding. Louis Giglio is an Auburn fan. So
I didn't know Louis was an Auburn fan.
I think he went to Auburn.
Oh, okay, well, that makes sense. I guess I'd be an Auburn fan, too. Yeah. Okay, well, that concludes this podcast. Thanks for listening. Check out patreon.com/knockmination to support the podcast so we can get JT better internet at his new house. And we hope you've enjoyed yourselves. We hope that this has given you the escape you need from work, from your wife, from whatever right. you're trying to escape from, okay?
Encroaching on the podcast.
We're here for you. Was that Mallory?
Yeah.
Does she even know that your webcam is on? Does she not know
that? What is she doing walking around like that?
Okay.
What is she doing in there?
All right, we'll see you later, JT.
Ma! Meatloaf!
Thanks for listening to the nation's leading replacement-level podcast. Knockahoma Nation is brought to you by Knockahoma Nation patrons. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/knockahomanation. For new episodes and content, visit knockahomanation.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @knockahomantn. Special thanks to research assistant Braves Options Guy and spiritual advisor John D. Howard. See you next week, knuckleheads.